Then it's a week from now and we haven't done any preparation, so it might get rushed out. So I'll let you know. Yeah. Where is it this time?
We're back at Flores. That's where we launched. That's where we had our first year anniversary and now our second year anniversary.
Yeah. I'll sign up on that. You guys are on Eventbrite, right?
Pardon?
You're on Eventbrite?
Yes.
Tickets? Yeah. If I'm able to go and these get pushed out, then I'll join you guys. Yep.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, and it's 11:34. And the first thing on our agenda is call to order, Chad.
Member Contreras. That's okay. Member Fong is absent. Member Kretzberg.
Here.
Member Weddington.
Present.
Member Donahue.
Here.
Member Huggins. Not here. Member Reed. Vice Chair Quittell.
Here.
And Chair Kirkhoff.
Here.
You would have a quorum.
Okay. Next thing on the agenda, is there any public comment?
I wasn't able to check the agenda. This item, like the 40th Street multimodal, might be on this agenda. I know it was on last night's calendar, but it's my understanding we have a discussion about that today. Am I correct?
We do not have that agendized today.
So you can speak.
Okay, yeah. So, Joyce, I'm sorry, could you stand up? Do you mind?
Sure. I did send in a comment card last night. I'm here with fellowship. Do I have 2 minutes? Is this time?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on, let me go. Can my 2 minutes start now? So
I'm giving you a moment.
So I don't know if the EDAC committee was aware that corporate retailers being Federal and IKEA, none of them were aware of the multimodal project until I approached them directly in November of 25. No one ever had any conversations with them. The city failed to notify. The city also has an outreach map I can share if you'd like, which identifies the areas of Federal Realty and also IKEA. And again, per that map, the city failed to acknowledge them. East Bay Bridge Center is a 27-acre parcel comprised from San Pablo all the way down to Target. All the retailers there include everything from Panda Express, Home Depot, Target, Best Buy, Nordstrom, Michaels, Burlington, etc. And none of them were notified. I had to speak to each local manager and the corporate office, and they didn't know what was happening. So that was failure on the city's part. Pete's Coffee also has 200 employees here in the city. Meta Genomics, also on Park Street, has 137 employees. So those two companies and their landlords were never notified either. There are several companies, and we're just talking Hubbard, Fortin, all the way up, never notified, including IKEA. So with these businesses, 16% is sales tax, 14% is business license fees, 12% property tax, 4% hotel tax. That's 54% of gross revenue that goes into city coffers to pay for city staff fees, police, and fire. So how is it possible the city ignored these important revenue sources? Why? Why did they do that? They have no problem reaching out to you for a code violation or paying taxes, but they didn't simply notify anyone regarding a project of this magnitude. So the city, if you look in the lobby, it states very clearly what their mission statement is, which says support for existing businesses and attracting new ones, proactive engagement with business community. So they're definitely not following the mission statement. And I don't know if this committee has ever looked into the negative consequences and ramifications should these retailers start to leave. And by the way, a lot of them are very concerned with this project. So I want to know if there was ever an economic financial analysis prepared. Did the city ever do that, or did they just do a transportation study? So a major thoroughfare like this will cause chaos, as it has on International Boulevard, which I'm sure everybody in this room is very familiar with. where there were business closures and diminished property values.
That's your time.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to speak?
No. I'm going to speak as a citizen. So I too am really concerned about everything that's happened with this multimodal project and the fact that the five entities of the city that could have weighed in and requested an economic impact study have remained mysteriously silent on this project. Budget and governance, budget advisory, city manager, the finance director, and this committee, economic development. Our vacancy rates have been terrible. Bay Street had a 30% vacancy rate. There was a 39% vacancy rate in biotech property. And all of a sudden in 2025, those things turned around so that amazingly, Bay Street had 10,000 people come to the Tokyo Central opening, and Sutter Health came and is going to establish a $1 billion regional health center in our community. And yet, these five entities that should have demanded all the way along an updated economic impact study against this disruption in the core economic corridor of the city say nothing. I just don't get it. I'm a citizen. I find this outrageous. And I think proceeding with that project will just cause chaos. Our general fund spends 33% on police, 22% on fire, 14% on community development and community services. Our deficits are going to grow from 10 million to 14.5 million by 2030. The ballot measures are going to tax businesses and property owners. And yet, every entity that I have mentioned has stayed silent about this chaotic disruption. And I really, I just don't get it. That's my comment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so I'd like to move on to approving the January 21st, 2026 regular meeting action minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
That's close.
I'll call the roll on the motion by Fran, Vice Chair Quittel to approve the January 21st, 2026 minutes, seconded by Member Weddington. Said I'll call the roll. Member Contreras is absent. Member Fong is absent. Member Kritzberg?
Here.
Member Weddington?
Aye.
Member Donahue?
Aye.
Member Huggins is absent. Member Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Quittel?
Aye.
And Chair Tirkoff?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. Our next action item is something that I'm going to recuse myself from. It's the consideration of the support for the ECC's restaurant group of debt.
I only found out I was doing it like 20 minutes ago.
Tirkoff leaves the room, and then I'll have somebody open that door when we're ready for you to come back in.
You have someone to watch her.
So all you need to do, Fran, is just announce the item.
Okay. The announcement is consideration of support for the Emeryville Commerce Connection Restaurant Week event. There's a memorandum in our panel.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair. So briefly, I'll give a brief presentation introduction of the item. As Vice Chair mentioned, there is a request in your packet and a staff report accompanying that. The Emeryville Commerce Connection, as you all, I think, are aware, is a 501c6 nonprofit member-based organization, very similar to a Chamber of Commerce. Provides networking opportunities, as was mentioned earlier, for the business community, and has a mission of promoting the city of Emeryville and its business community. So the ECC is planning to launch a restaurant week. Now, restaurant weeks are common. They're done all over the place. I actually started researching this item. It was interesting because I learned that it was started in the 90s in New York City. This is where the idea came from. Essentially, restaurants sign up and develop sort of a prefix, you know, menu and special pricing. And that all gets promoted collectively, typically during times when you would have a low time in, in your normal restaurant business. And so when business is a little slow, it gives folks a reason to go out to the restaurants. So the ECC is planning to do that. Lots of cities around the Bay Area do this every year. And they're produced in different ways. And so very frequently sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. And okay, let me make a note here. Yes. Thank you. So we have received a request for the city's support of helping with this, financially helping with the production of Restaurant Week. Specifically, it's about $30,663 for promotional support. And we do have funds in the Economic Development Fund that can support this. They are not budgeted for this purpose yet. This is a new thing for us. It would be very, I imagine that if we wanted to move forward with this, the arrangement would be very similar to the annual support that we provide to the Emeryville Celebration of the Arts Exhibition. And if we do that through a grant agreement annually. That one is funded through public art funds. This would be economic development funds. The funding request includes a budget outlining what specifically these funds are used for. A part of our standard template grant agreement is also attached and includes a reporting requirement so that we can confirm that those funds were spent on the things identified. And so I'm asking for whether or not the EDAC would support this request and make a recommendation to the City Council, as this would require City Council action for budget appropriation. And I understand the chair, Krista, is here from ECC. And if you had anything to add or say, or.
I don't have anything to add. I mean, I'm here for questions, I guess, if anybody has any questions.
I have a question. I'm puzzled about something, and it's the ad placement. Mm-hmm. And I want to know somehow or other that $12,000 for ads, that seems so retro to me. So I want to hear about the outreach campaign, and maybe that money could be better spent in a different way than ads.
Well, what do you mean? I'm not sure what you mean by retro. Yes. It's not necessarily print ads. That would include social media boosted posts. That would potentially include radio or streaming radio. Advertising is, it could be, I mean, we haven't fully formulated the plan, but it could be, you know, BART posters or something like that. It's not just like magazine print ads.
The reason I'm asking is because there's a budget attached to this request, and I want to know if there's an ability to update this budget rather than have the word, I don't like the word, I like social media better, and I'd like to see the words campaign, social media, because I think we do a great job, for example, in getting people to come to the Emeryville Celebration of the Arts, and I want this to have the same success and use a similar strategy.
Yeah, and I also think, and I don't have the budget in front of me, but I think that mailers were also part of that. And I know that that is one of the ways that Celebration of the Arts advertises. So that may have been why she put prints, because it might have been.
It's a big item. And out of the $30,000, $12,400.
Yes, this is the first year we've done the event, so we will need to aggressively advertise this event.
So I'd like to see an amended budget if I can request that.
And the budget subject to, this is preliminary. Yeah. The budget would be finalized in the version that we take to the City Council. Okay. I mean, to provide, you know, depending on the outcome here. So these kinds of comments are
Yeah, perfect. We can.
That's my suggestion.
We can flush that out.
Focus more on social media on something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say that follow the path that we've had for the tremendous success of Amaryville Celebration of the Arts.
Okay. Do we have extra agendas packets?
I did not remember to print those. I can also scroll since I'm sharing. If you have a question or want to look at something specific,
this is the first time. This would be the first time that the committee to another group, another organization, like a 501c6. I mean, not we're awarding it, but this would be the first time the EDAC has been kind of like this.
First time I've asked, I think it is the first time I've asked the EDAC specifically about this kind of request.
It's not the first time any committee. You mentioned that the public arts play the same role with the Celebration of the Arts.
That's right. We also, more generally, we support, we generally are in providing financial support to ECAL through the same kind of agreement. That doesn't go to a committee. That comes out of general fund.
This city.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking just particularly with this committee, like what can the role of this committee in the art relation to outside.
So gotcha. No, this committee's role is to advise the city council on policies pertaining to economic development. Mm-hmm. I'm proposing that we do something new here with economic development funds, and it's a new opportunity. And so I thought it would make sense to ask the EDAC in that context, since I would be asking the city council on a future agenda item to make an appropriation and enter and authorize execution of a grant agreement for this purpose. That's the spirit in which I brought it.
I mean, it makes sense that it would come to us. Mm-hmm. We're the economic development, small business, right? So are most of the restaurants also small businesses or?
Yes, most restaurants are, yes.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the, since Mary Lou had to leave because she's part of ECC, ECC kind of sprang out of this organization, this committee in a way. I was thinking about whether we would be vulnerable to criticism of any kind. I don't know, just
I think it's a good point, to be honest.
Was it provided during a formal RFP process?
No.
It's not. So, but this committee has a separate fund for this type of events.
We have an economic development fund that can be used for a wide variety of economic development activities. Here's the way I view this is that we only have one business, formal business entity organization in this city. Okay. I have had requests over the years for Restaurant Week from restaurants. It's something that's come up in the past. Now, some cities, as I mentioned, just before you got here, lots of cities do Restaurant Weeks. And they're sponsored and funded in different ways. Sometimes it's fully funded and completely produced by the Chambers of Commerce or the Convention and Visitor Bureau. Many times the city is providing promotional support to the producer of the event, which would be the Convention Visitor Bureau or the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Some cities produce it fully on their own, where the city itself is buying the ads and coordinating with the restaurants and doing all of that. Mm-hmm. And while I've gotten requests in the past to do this, this city, the staff does not have the bandwidth to produce a Restaurant Week. I've always wished that I did or had the ability to do so, but it's never been something that we've been able to make room for. So I see this as a way of leveraging the ECC's ability to actually produce this in a way that is very cost efficient for the city, as opposed to me taking NIWANA off of some other project. Frankly, I couldn't do it anyway. I mean, there's no time. And so that's the way I look at it. And could you get criticism for it? Yes. I can think of individuals that would criticize any support from the city in any form of any business. And I would say in response to that it is not atypical for a city to provide this kind of support to its business associations.
Right.
There are many, many, many examples of this, and particularly when it's around a discrete, quantifiable, new mm-hmm. action. This is not supporting the ongoing operating costs of of the business association. This is to produce at restaurant, right? Like, it's almost like a contract for service.
Well, can I frame it like the space that it lives in? Say one example, one extreme would be ECC does it on their own, fully funded by themselves. Another extreme would be the city does it on their own.
You got it.
Yes. And they don't, you take any help from anyone. And then somewhere in the middle, there's like a version where the city decides to fund an organization to do it, and they have a competing competition for the job.
Yeah.
Right. And then another one where the ECC is going to do it anyway, but we can be a force multiplier with our donation. So, and maybe there's some other options. So where do we land? What was the steel man for this?
Closer to the latter thing you said, I don't believe that the ECC has sufficient resources to produce this on their own.
Yeah.
And maybe Krista can.
Yeah. Well, I was going to add, you know, the restaurant weeks that I'm familiar with, Oakland Restaurant Week, Concord does, they don't call it Restaurant Week, they do like Concord Week, or they do a variety thing. Those are all produced by like Visit Oakland, Visit Concord, and those are Visit California, they're under the Visit California banner. We don't have a Visit Emeryville, so this event will also help us launch Destination Emeryville, which will be our ECC's answer to a Visit chapter. It doesn't exist right now because we don't have the funding to make it exist. Emeryville Commerce Connection could not fund this on their own. We are struggling to just survive as Emeryville Commerce Connection in general. So, you know, and as Chad said, it's not atypical for a city even just to support a chamber. And you know, we're also not a chamber of commerce, so we don't get the funding from the chamber of commerce. Like, yes. Yeah. So this is something that all of my restaurants have been asking for, and I'm sure every restaurant in Emeryville.
Chad, do we have an agreement or anything with the chamber or with ECC?
Not right.
So this would be the only fund.
This would be the only contractual arrangement between the city and the ECC.
And we don't have any sort of like application for financial assistance.
Something like this, you know, the city runs this community promotions grant program every year, provides funding to various kinds, more arts focused. As you know, we have other arts types grants. We don't have any sort of program specifically for this kind of endeavor. And there's really, in my view, there's really only one logical entity to run it, which is the ECC. Not dissimilar from, you know, there's only one entity that runs the celebration of the arts, right? The arts exhibition. So it's very I see a lot of corollaries to that arrangement that's been in place.
Totally in support of ECC, because you guys do great work in bringing the businesses together. This question is, what support are the restaurants? How is the, I know you guys have a relationship, but what are the restaurants? What are they contributing to this?
Well, we will require them to be a member of ECC, which I think $500 is the annual membership. It would either be that, or it would be you need to pay into the program, which would be $500. So we're just basically welcoming them into our Emeryville Commerce Connection. And so that will help somewhat offset, you know, the cost, but not much. And then in turn, they're getting the advertising for the, they're getting, you know, hopefully the traffic that this will drive, at, as Chad mentioned, at times when people aren't generally going to restaurants.
My other question would be, since we don't have an RFP, we don't have like a, you know, an open-ended funding application for this sort of situation, I'm suggesting that this becomes one so that it's a fair and open process.
Who do you imagine would apply to that?
In other situations where with Oakland, we've only had the one that was interested. But it's the process.
That's sort of why that happens. I'm just inclined to do it because of, because I don't think anyone is willing to do it.
I think it gets to, I think it gets to his point, which is like, if it has that process, which I think is what you're getting at, it kind of assuages any of that
negative
attraction that might get from there. Yeah,
sure.
I agree with you. That's why I was kind of getting at the application for like public or financial assistance.
I understand. And that is something that we plan to do with our cultural events program that's coming through the BIPOC business support program. Except in that case, I think there's many folks that can participate and produce cultural events.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we plan to do there is actually put out a request for expressions of interest.
Mm-hmm.
To get a feel for what that world looks like. And then that allows us to design an RFP that actually is responsive to that. So it is a process we use when we have multiple folks.
It's interested. Like a small, I mean, considering it says a small amount of 50,000. So maybe, I don't know if you guys have like a social process where it's a little shorter. And then you just put it out there, you get the response.
Sorry, so we just make the findings and do it.
Because you've done the research, you know
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that would be
the way that it will go.
That would be a straightforward thing to do.
That makes more sense. Yeah. Then it's a sole source process, the research, and you understand who's out there, and it's only ECC, and then it happens. Yeah.
A historic note, the old chamber that Emeryville had was controlled by one real estate interest. Jeff, who would rent out space, and was not what this chamber is. This chamber is much more fair from the point of view. It is based on small business originally, and it hasn't been in the interest of one developer, really. It's been in the interest of many, many small businesses, and hopefully including larger business. So I see that our chamber / commerce connection, not officially called a chamber, which is out of trouble, will be a great venue for this. And we have enough distributed people in our community that are a part of it, the commerce connection, that I just can't see it being controversial and having any blowback. And the efficiency of it all seems really good to me. So I'm really in support.
I'd like to weigh in.
I think that I find it so interesting that I understand that the restaurant businesses have not recovered, their lunch business has not recovered. And I think I want to know how this helps them. I want the city to get data. I really feel that I want to know from each entity that participates what the effect on their business has been for lunch and dinner. I also want to know, how did people get to these businesses? Did they get there by bus, by bike, by car, by walking? I want the city to have that data. The reason I am saying that is because a lot of these restaurants are located at Bay Street, and that's the site of this massive construction that's going to come. And I really want to hammer home what the city needs to do to keep these businesses going. So I think I'd like to see in your proposal data that comes back to the city.
That's an interesting suggestion. And I wonder if you guys would be open.
I mean, standard for Bay Street, when we have an event, I'll pull my tenants to make sure it was a good event. Because obviously we're not going to keep doing it.
It would be possible as part of this program for participating restaurants to have them do a survey or provide some kind of feedback on, you know, I would imagine this would be interesting for ECC as well. Like, you want to know that they actually got a sales boost and things like
that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And every restaurant week does it different in terms of whether the restaurants do like a prefixed menu, like you said. This year, we're kind of going to leave it to the restaurant. It could be like they offer a discount at lunch. They need to figure out where they need the support or where they need the traffic, and then they can build their restaurant week special to support that. I you're 100% correct. I mean, that's where my Bay Street restaurants are still continuing to struggle is weekday lunches. So, yeah, I mean, for sure, that's how the people got there would require the restaurants to survey the customers. So I don't know 100% how realistic that
when
is.
When you make the reservation on Open Table,
mm-hmm.
is there, can the Open Table form? The Open Table, excuse me.
Yeah, can you like add a,
yeah,
I don't know the answer to that.
But because you certainly would know whether or not they're coming for lunch or dinner. The question is, how would you get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe you could say parking validation. Do you need your parking to be validated mm-hmm. or something like that? I want to know. I think it's helpful to know, especially because of the other things that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. And I also want to know the disruption effect. I want to know how they got there, because like, we want to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
I think to your point, Fran, something that you guys might consider if getting kind of that direct customer survey results would probably just be encouraging your businesses to have like a QR code or something to a survey that you develop, or even just sending something out via Emeryville's marketing campaign saying like, did you attend a restaurant week and then take this survey, kind of a post-event survey.
It's possible, too, that the restaurants could add, like, a QR code on their receipt at the end of the transaction.
Yeah.
So we can for sure look into that. And that wouldn't add a cost to the, but, I mean, it shouldn't add a cost. That would be at the
restaurant. Since we're on the topic of data, I saw, I think you guys are planning on doing this in October?
Yes. That's the plan, yeah.
Okay. Chad, a question I assume.
Do like an RFP or whatever, that would
impact it. Chad, I believe that you probably have access to the NEMO data of sales tax revenue mm-hmm. that you could determine like which quarter in Emeryville is kind of the lowest for restaurant businesses. Because the idea of providing a financial incentive to ECC to put on this event would be, there's several goals, but one of them being the city can earn most of its money back through an increase in sales tax revenue. So if we can kind of see where the lull is, and then maybe it is October, and then base the dates off of that, I think then you have a really good case for a financial, I use the word incentive, but I know it's not quite like an incentive in the traditional sense for kind of business development.
There's a few lull. I mean, January, February is typically a restaurant lull, but September, October, you're coming off of summer, so people are back in school, back at work, so they're going out less, and they're not spending as much because they're saving up for Christmas, and all that stuff. So those are kind of the two typical times you'll see a restaurant.
And I assume you've kind of looked at the neighboring cities nearby to see when their restaurant
was
so that we're not competing.
Right. Definitely. Yes.
I have another comment. Sorry. I want to also make sure that even Tokyo Central, which has takeout, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that that entities, they may not be restaurants, but they have takeout, mm-hmm. that they can participate in restaurants.
Yeah. Tokyo Central does have the hand roll factory, which is a restaurant. So they of course would be included. But yeah, they're absolutely like our dessert shops, like a Bay Street dipped in jars and things like that. They just need to be more creative with how they participate because they don't have like menus to speak up. But yeah, they absolutely would be invited to participate. And actually, businesses that aren't restaurants would be invited to participate through sponsorship. But they're also getting the publicity from the sponsorship in the program. So it benefits the entire community.
If you have a discount to go to a restaurant during restaurant week, that's a very effective way of getting people to give something new a try
mm-hmm.
or to support their favorite establishment, maybe Empress's Cookies.
Yeah.
How closely are you working with Yelp on this? Because I know that they get really involved with restaurant week.
Yeah, we have reached out to Yelp, and she was going to send me a proposal. I haven't received it
yet. Is it Jennifer? I know she's like the Bay Area.
I think so, yeah.
They, I know that Hayward works with them, Fremont works with them. So yeah, probably. Yeah, they do it for free. For all they do is put their name on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So. And I've worked with them in the past for at my property specifically for what they call Yelp Elite events. So I don't know if it's going to look like that or, but yeah, she's supposed to give me a proposal. And I would, I think we included it on the budget as more of like an in-kind sponsorship. Cause it, as you said, they don't charge, but if there's a value to it.
Yeah.
Vice Chair, if you would call for public comment, we forgot to do that.
I beg your pardon?
If you would call for public comment, we forgot to do that for this item.
If I would call for public comment?
Mm-hmm. For this item.
For this, oh, thank you. My debut.
Any public comment for this item? Thank you.
Hello?
No.
It's your opportunity.
Yeah.
Say this is the kind of support you want from a committee.
Yeah, you haven't voted yet. You haven't taken a motion yet. So close though.
Well, so yeah, so should we come up with a motion?
You want to make a motion?
No. No. I'm just being lazy.
I move approval of this SCAM recommendation for Restaurant Week.
I'll second.
I was just trying to remember if we had a suggestion that we want to incorporate in the motion, or is that is Chad notes enough?
I think provides financial support for Restaurant Week. Do we have to say that? Because she ECC is requesting $30,663.
Okay, I can add that to it. I have that.
Yeah, that makes sense because I was not specific. Okay, so the motion as it is stands currently is because you accept that friendly amendment that to provide financial support. You recommend that to the city council that the city provide financial support in the amount of $30,663 to the ECC for the production of Restaurant
Week in October of 2020.
Yeah. And
is there a second?
You affirm your second. Great. I have a motion and a second. I will call the roll. Member Contreras is absent. Member Fong is absent. Member Kritzberg?
Aye.
Member Weddington?
Aye.
Member Donahue?
Aye.
Member Huggins?
Aye.
Member Reed?
Aye.
And Vice Chair Quitton?
Aye.
Should have passed it. And now we can, yes, support. These things like tint,
is it possible to keep that door open? It's really warm.
It's really high.
It was a maintenance worker. But he wasn't out there the last month ago, so.
Can I open
a window over here? That's what we were just saying.
This week.
Oh, yeah. So it failed.
All right,
let me
show it.
It did?
Yeah, sorry.
I heard all the laughter. I was wondering what I was missing. There was a robust discussion.
I'm doing that, Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what this is all about. Well, now move on to our information items. The first one is the BIPOC Small Business Support Program update. Chad?
Right, sure. Yes, I'm going to hand this over and introduce again Natalie Jones, who's a business aide and taking the lead on the BIPOC Small Business Support Program to give us an update.
Thank you. So as we know, in November, the City Council approved the BIPOC program. So since then, for quarter one, because we're pretty much in quarter one, so far I've initiated outreach. So I go to at least three businesses a week, looking through all the data to see how I can kind of find out, you know, who are the small businesses at Emeryville. I'll go out specifically, introduce myself, let them know about the program. just let them know that the city of Emeryville is actually here to support and created a survey for businesses to complete. It's been over 25 surveys. As of this memo, we had one. Now we have two, so a little better. But it's still having a hard time with the businesses that actually follow through with the survey. I sent, like, gone back a couple times, sent updated, say, hey, just a friendly reminder. Still haven't gotten much, so I'm trying to figure out different ways to incentivize the businesses to actually complete the survey. Some of the survey questions include, whether they're a BIPOC, what type of business, what type of help can the city offer? Do they need help with hiring? Just different things like that. And they're, we can tweak it as it goes, as we go along, as I find out more information. What I am finding that a lot of businesses are happy to tell me, but if I don't have data, then it makes it a little difficult to implement some of the things. So I'm really trying to bring that home to them. And I'm just really just trying to show a presence to the community as far as I'm here. Just a few moments ago, I went to a business that had a caterpillar problem. So I'm really I'm working with code enforcement too. So code enforcement may say, hey, I'm going to go out to a business. I jump in the car and we tag team and we're like good cop, bad cop. Like I'm trying to find out any kind of way to kind of get in there to earn the trust of the business so that they will be, more forthcoming with information and officially, unofficially letting them know about ECC so that they can join ECC and that, know that ECC is there. I also reached out to regional partners. So I had a meeting with the SBA, the director of the SBA, so we can try to get in front of them so they can be an actual partner for the city of Emeryville. And through the SBA, because I was looking at SBA and local places, they're saying we should have an MOU with the SBA so that they can give them a directive to work with us, because some of the other companies, they don't necessarily have to, but SBA actually funds them. So if they have the directive from the SBA director, say, work with the city of Emeryville on all of these action items, and that will probably be a better avenue to go through. So that's one of the bigger things. Also, just kind of looking at the current website that we have, a lot of the things that are on the website are just events. They're not really geared towards small businesses. So I'll kind of draft it, and Valerie and I'll work on that too. Drafted a preliminary memo so we can see, we can get in front of the city manager's office to say, hey, we have this poll that we really want to support the small businesses. Is there a way for us to promote them on our website? Because right now it's a no. So hopefully in the future we'll have that meeting and kind of flesh out the memo for that. So it's really like a big social media strategy. Like, we really want to make sure that people know that these small businesses are here, because we have businesses who are really, really tiny that have, they're struggling. So Restaurant Week will be great for someone like that. Let's see what else. Yes.
I just wonder about the size of these businesses. And also, do you find that they cluster in a particular geography in the city? Are they?
The businesses are 55 employees and under, but most of them honestly have been a lot less. So one business is two or three businesses are one man show.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I just went to Rob Ben's restaurant where they have a staff, maybe about 10 or 15. So I'm really trying to keep it, under the 55, but really small, because these are the people who really need a lot of the support. I get emails from some of the regional places, I'll forward them to them, hey, they have these free workshops. We're really just trying to figure out a way to package it to where there's a one-stop shop. So we're working on the website, because right now the website is just really, you have a question, contact, And I want to, but it's nothing elaborate. So I want to do a business directory. So I've been meeting with CRMs, companies to kind of tell us how much it'll cost to have a business directory to see if that's even a viable option for economically and for the business. But again, I need the data from the businesses to tell me if we can spend that money on something like that. So we're just, I'm just like throwing a lot of things out there, trying to figure out how a lot of them will stick. We're still working with 510 Media, who is going to launch a separate website specifically for businesses. And then they're a storytelling. I do want to do storytelling on the small businesses too, not just like the larger cool companies. A lot of the businesses, honestly, that I've been going through to have been all over the place. So there's Robbins on San Pablo. It's a lot of restaurants too. Like that's what I'm really realizing, that there's tons of restaurants here. So like Robbins, I went there. I've been to a couple businesses on Bay Street. There's a Banh Mi sandwich place that just opened, and Lane Splitter. So they're still on that San Pablo corridor. There's businesses at the Emory. Been spending a lot of time at the Emory. Just kind of all over the place by the Amtrak station. Then I've even reached out on the other side to Randy's Deli. So like I've been kind of trying to not stay in one geographic location, but kind of hitting all the as many places as I can and trying to mix it up a little bit too. So
I know Randy's Deli in particular is really trying to make an effort to revive itself and bring in organic produce and become a place that's more than a liquor store.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have a new owner.
Yes.
And he changed the menu and all that stuff too. So it's just like, how do we promote these businesses and how do I get them to complete the survey to get the data to put into it? Everyone's really nice and receptive. It's just the follow-up.
Do you get a feeling the follow-up problem is paranoia about data, or is the follow-up problem they're just so business-oriented in their own personal struggle that they're trying to make ends meet and just don't want to devote any minutes more than meet and greet?
Yes, I think that is the struggle. That's more of it, because again, some of them are so like they're small businesses, so they wear so many different hats. I was even thinking like, because I even have like I created a link on my website. I mean, on my page when I send an email like book with me, so we can spend 15 minutes. Even if I need to click these buttons. But I can't get them to meet with me. So outside of the initial introduction, so I just have to figure out
some of the problem that you've also seen with when you go out to meet, they're never there.
Oh yeah, they're never there. So like I may leave my card with someone who just works there as opposed to the owner or the manager. So one day I think I went to like six businesses and I came back with like zero. And I'm just like, oh gosh. So like I've been changing my dates that I go. I mean, you know, like Monday, Wednesday, I'm changing the dates, the time, just trying to mix it up. Yeah, it's tough.
Are you going with code enforcement on those?
Sometimes. Okay. I don't always go with code enforcement.
Do you find that's relatively successful? Or because I'm an economic developer as well, and I'll say that like the last thing I want to do is ride alongside somebody who is the bad guy, who is there to say, you're paying me, you got to pay the city money, you got to do this.
Yeah.
I would prefer to keep myself, and I do prefer to keep myself as far away from code enforcement as I possibly can.
Well, it's a little different in this way, because city of Emeryville has been really punitive in that way. Because at first I was like, I don't know. So like, and we've been going out, has been pretty, I mean, it's been working.
Okay.
So like, for instance, just today with the Caterpillar thing. So she's like, I'm code enforcement, where I'm not here for punitive, we're here to help you. And I'm like, and I'm business support. So let me know what I can do to kind of help you. So that's a good
dynamic. That is way better than the situation I'm in.
And I don't go out to every code enforcement call, but some of the ones that will make sense to where they might need help on trying to figure out who they talk to about mitigating the.
I also had a question. You mentioned some business directories. Have you checked out Blue Dot?
Yes.
Yet? Okay. Blue Dot.
one we use currently.
Okay.
And we have the free version, but it's getting ready to go away in June.
Yeah.
So I've been in communication with them. So far, they're the only ones who will just offer a standalone business directory. Yeah. All the other businesses have pretty much wanted the entire CRM, but we have so many different things all over the place that I'm not sure what that looks like. But I think Blue Dot is like almost 6,000 a year. Yeah. The other ones are more like 12.
Yeah. I'll say my experience with Blue Dot is they're incredibly receptive. Anytime I reach out to their Liv, who you might have been working with, anytime I reach out to her, she always has new features. She always has new recommendations for ways to enhance the use. And I find it very helpful. So I would recommend Blue Dot if that's where you're going. I also had a question as far as business support. Have you guys looked into Yifty, like the community gift card program? So this could be, and this would be a joint venture probably with ECC as well. The biggest hurdle with, I think, Yifty is that it really doesn't work unless there's some sort of funding behind it for what they call the BOGOs, which is buy a Yifty gift card. For context, it's a gift card that...
Two E's at the end, right?
Well, yes, two E's at the end. Y-I-F-T-E. Oh, it's a community gift card that a bunch of businesses sign up for, and you can only use that gift card at the participating businesses. Now, it sounds like any other gift card. The way that cities and Yifty make it work well is they do what's called buy one, get one. So it's spend $50 on a gift card and you'll get $10 free on top of that. So you'll get a $50 gift card, you'll get a $10 gift card. Typically that's funded either by the chamber, by the ECC, or by the city. It has like a limited amount of time, but they-
Don't the cities do that during COVID? I feel like the city of Hercules did that.
Yeah, a lot of cities have done that. It is, the biggest hurdle is getting the buy-in from the cities. We don't do it in Union City because it's been really, it's a challenge to do it. So it is a heavy lift, but it's maybe an option to explore there. I'm not sure it directly drives at the BIPOC program, but I think just by proximity of it being a full-on business support program, it still supports those businesses. Granted, that's only restaurants and retailers. It's not so much for if you're looking at professional services, if you're looking at like manufacturing operation, those I don't think will be involved so much.
The city of Albany did this very successfully. And it just so happens I use an acupuncturist, a very small business. It's like a collective, right? And when the city of Albany matched or added, then the Yifty application was very clunky, but it was really unbelievable. But when the city actually matched and the Yifty card had an additional value because of the support of the city, then I religiously did it. But when the businesses just got together and had a Yifty card, I didn't do it. There was no benefit to use a Yifty.
Right.
Exactly. And the application is awful.
Well, they recently changed it. You can do it on your phone now. The card will go on your digital wallet, which I thought was leaps and bounds, like the best addition, the best feature they have. Because otherwise it was like you're saying, Fran, it was you got a code in your email. And so at the POS, the cashier would have to punch in the code and then they would have issues. I know a lot of cities who gave up on it because they were spending more time being like Yifty support than they were actually doing their jobs. So
I have a question. We've been talking about like demand on demand side help, like stimulating demand or restaurant week and so on. You also mentioned code enforcement. And last night there was a bunch of people came and spoke on behalf of a small business that's having problems with so the live work, like, so do you think there's an opportunity to clarify on the supply side, like or like on the enabling businesses or clarifying rules about how they can operate and on that side for this in your in your area? Is that also a problem, like they're having trouble figuring out how to set up, how to get clear things through the city that they need for their operation and that sort of thing?
That's kind of sticky. And I say that in that there could have potentially been maybe a small hiccup. However, I actually go out to that business. To offer my support because of all of the things that the challenges that they have. So sitting with the business owner, letting them know what they need, making sure that I'm even going to a class for the county of Alameda so that I can understand best how to assist in that, making connections.
Well, then you can go from the health department.
Yeah. It's health department for certain things.
I'm not by the city.
Yes. Yeah. So we've been having those issues. I've been going directly to the property manager and speaking with the property manager as well, trying to figure out how we can get a resolution to some of the things. Some of the things are just ask for forgiveness, even though I'm here to help. I'm not, I'm giving them the steps. Mm-hmm. And then the steps aren't being followed. So it's a lot of...
It's a complex...
It's very complex thing. In that.
Yeah. So in general, we've done a lot in EDAC. It's been like promotion.
Right.
And now, so sort of like on the demand side of things, like trying to get more attention to small businesses and so on. And then we also have this BIPOC thing, which is more, I thought of more as focused on enabling businesses. Mm-hmm. And helping them navigate or whatever. I was wondering if maybe we should do more of that, maybe not just BIPOC focused. I don't know if that I'm sort of asking.
Oh,
are there a lot of gray areas that we could help with?
We do.
I mean, I'm not saying we don't, but
what the BIPOC program is about is an intentional focus and being more proactive.
Oh, yeah.
To that community. Right. Mm-hmm. But we always we provide that assistance to small businesses when they run into these.
So it's not a lot of the businesses have been BIPOC, not everyone's BIPOC that I'm going out and offering services to. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I would say as well is just how do you promote a concierge service? Like, I'm here. You want to start a business, like that's part of the website development. It's more like you want to start a business in Emeryville, contact 911. Like, I can walk you through all of the steps and get you in contact with who you need to be in contact with. So that's, and then if it's BIPOC, maybe I reach out a little faster. But it's not just, my job isn't just BIPOC.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just trying to offer that. And even if EDAC has money, we want to give money or micro grants or things like that. But again, I need the survey to get the data to find out what they need in order to create the program. So,
right.
Yeah. Survey closed.
I'm sorry.
Has the survey closed?
It's ongoing.
Oh, okay.
So I even was at one point, another thing is most people don't have email or they don't have cards. They want to text or something like that. So I ordered it. Cell phone. So I'd be like, okay, let me text you the survey. I also created an actual QR code that I'm just like, okay, let me take it so you can scan it while I'm in front of you to see if I can. So it's just all of these things.
And all this is on the city's website, like book you, book an appointment with you.
Not yet on directly. Okay. That happens more in quarter two, which I was gonna kind of go into quarter two. But quarter one was just more like, okay, where are we
setting up?
What's the fit? Like who can I talk to? How do we build this? Quarter two will be more. Let's put some things on the website. Let's figure out how to ramp this up. Let's get the MOU completed. Maybe start thinking, okay, with the SBA, I want at some point, I want to be able to have enough to where SBA can come in and we can host something for all the businesses to come to and have a whole day of here's some lenders, here's some businesses, just different things like that. So just kind of working, just trying to, because it's a 2-year program.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to pace it to make sure that the businesses, number one, know it's out there. They know what we offer. And they know how to utilize the program.
One other comment is I often go to the cable channel for Emeryville. And I don't see much on. Is anybody else experiencing the same thing?
See what?
The Emeryville cable channel, and there's not a whole lot of any
you know, information. It's just in the sign and reveal and the logo. There's not a whole lot of advertising. There's not a lot of activity going on that site. I don't know who manages it. And question is, does anybody else look at that, or is it?
You're the first person I've heard say that that they watch it. So I think it's managed by the city clerk through a contract with. It has come up in the past that, you know, hey, we should have some content for this. It's always been a challenge about, like, well, you know, what would that be? But that is actually an interesting.
Do you have a TV up somewhere in the lobby or something that shows it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we have screens, but they're blowing, like, changeable signs.
Okay. There's nowhere in the building that shows that feed. No.
Yeah, maybe we could get the stories that are going to be on the website.
Well, I was just thinking that.
There
might be a way of making video or even static, I guess, content that could.
That,
you
could advertise,
you know, like you're reusing stuff that we're getting made.
Union City has a really good one. I don't want to toot our horn too much, but we have a really good cable one that we play in the lobby, and we make IT tickets to put things on there. I don't look at it. I've been in another city.
And we have that television channel. It not only showed council meetings whatnot, but it had content that circled so that if you're down in the lobby, you could watch the council meeting from yesterday or the planning commission from last week. It just kind of rotated content, but it also did have stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was like, you know, it'd be a flyer or whatever that pop up, like an advertisement or some event, kind of like the boards that we have up there. That's a great. Great suggestion.
Option is to have some sort of fee to have other businesses market their business there, and those funds can go into, you know, EDAP or to fund other businesses support.
How many of the BIPOC businesses have websites?
Like, I don't know if I'm even getting that data. So that's something I can go back in and because I'm small enough to where I can still go back in and check. Okay. But I think that's actually a question on the survey. I can go in and.
But what I've done with some of the surveys I've done, I mean, it's typical what you're going through. I walk in, if I get an appointment where I can talk to somebody, I just ask those questions right there, write them down, that's it, record them. Just ask it like a part of your conversation.
Yeah.
It's done, that survey.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing that too, just based on how that's working. I was even thinking of, like, I ask, like, when I get my business cards, I have business cards, but I'm like, can I put my QR code on the back so I can leave it with them? And then, you know, so I used to do that when I was at another city. I would just kind of ask questions, but they would need to grant me the time to do that more than enough. Because the survey is, it's kind of extensive. It may be like 5 minutes. It may not be too long, but.
That's quite a lot.
You could fill it in. You're saying you could call them and fill in their survey for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they have to be there too, right? Like, to your point, like, you go there and they're not there.
They're not there. Yeah.
So right now, the city's effort is staff time.
Yeah, that's principally what the program is.
And is there a plan to do a grant or something later?
There is a part of that program that's for the cultural event focused events that are sort of like development focused. So that's a future thing. That's why I mentioned earlier with the request for letters of interest. And I think
that's contingent on this CRM?
I don't know that it's necessarily contingent on it, but it is sort of contingent on building some more relationships with that business community so that we get good responses to that request. We want to design something that works. So, you know, the more people that we're connected to, the better.
What's an example of a few kinds of small businesses that you talk to that are not restaurants?
Let's see. I did not know that there's actually a escape room down the street. Yeah, there's an escape room. I went to an interior design place. I don't, is this a small business? I think so. Sway, they actually just opened down the street. Yeah. They were amazing. They do, instead of using plastic, they do everything out of seaweed. So that's a really cool business. Mean? Seaweed.
Yeah.
From the sea. Yeah. So Chad and I went by and talked to them.
What do they make or do?
Thin film. So like any kind of plastic, anything that has thin plastic, like cellophane type.
Oh, so it's a materials company.
It's a materials company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Wellness companies. So I've been to a couple of those. So I'm just trying to take a stab at all different industries as well. I have not been to any of like the construction companies or anything like that yet. Because mostly they're not there. Personal services. No. I did meet with one person for personal services, but I'm trying to. I've reached out to a lot of people, but direct contact with 25. Most of them are restaurants because they are there, or at least the manager is there. You know, so I have a contact in that way.
Yeah. So I could give you more of my cards, of course, from ECC, but also our restaurant week flyer that we've got going now, and some other things that you could print out and just maybe that'll encourage them more. Nice color, and our flyer for our events.
That would be great. That would be great. Anything we could do to make sure that the business
is doing better. There's more people out there to help them. They just need to meet them. To know that they're there.
Do you have like a business resource list that you hand out as well with like SBDC contacts and SBA contacts, Renaissance?
Not yet, because we don't have the MOU and all of that in place.
Gotcha.
But that's what the plan is, to put that on the website so that they have those things. I've looked at we've looked at several websites, but two are ones that I really Albany and Santa Monica. They have really great websites. I want to figure out how to kind of incorporate that. Because Santa Monica actually has a business concierge service that I can kind of look and model a little bit more from there. And then I like the layout of Albany because the ease of use is just simple, and you can get all the information that you need in one shop.
Is there any public comment?
I have a question. Yes. So when you talk about small business, what do you consider small business? Is it based on employees, building square footage, gross sales receipts? I'm in commercial real estate, so this would be good for me to know.
So it's 55, or employees under 55. It can't be a chain restaurant or a business.
How do you define the chain?
Franchise.
So Farley's used to be in Emeryville.
I typically
chain.
Some of our programs, we defined it at 12 locations globally. There's different definitions depending on where you go. So that's
right. The place Trader Vic's
chain.
Chain.
Yeah, I think they just barely are. Because of the airport locations.
Do they have more than one location anymore?
Mm-hmm. They're in the other countries,
right? Dubai.
Okay. So it's just employee based then,
right? Principally.
55 or less.
Yeah.
And it depends on the program we're talking about. So for minimum wage, in terms of regulatory side of things, minimum wage has a small business definition. The Fair Work Week ordinance has it as a definition that pertains to chain restaurants. And then our programs have a definition that has been developed on its own. So it depends on the context, but in general, 55 or less is the consistent thing across most of these programs.
Okay, so like manufacturing or warehousing, that all fits.
Absolutely, most businesses have less than 55 employees.
Yeah.
Is our hourly wage still the highest in the area?
The highest in the area.
I am just astonished that a business that has fewer than 55 employees can even sustain itself here, because if
They have a couple of employees and they're paying the maximum hourly. It must be.
Yeah, that's a couple of the concerns that of our businesses have been shared with me too. And they're like, oh, the living wage is so high here. You know, I'm right. A small business, so.
You know, if I can just counter that, not to like fight back against that, but one thing that really like drove home and made me prideful about Emeryville was I read a book last year called Poverty by America, and Emeryville is actually referenced in it for being kind of a trailblazer in the wages. And they specifically talked to a fellow who worked himself basically into the hospital because he had like three jobs. And then when Emeryville passed their ordinance, he was able to work a singular job for 45 hours a week, and his standard of life like dramatically got better. So I think it's important to like contextualize these two things. It's like they're both, but really
the owner has to have enough revenue to support the dilemma. Of course, finger is expensive, so we know that, right. But the owner has to be able to pay them.
Yeah.
Another thing that keeps coming up in regards to wage is, while it's a struggle, and they're willing, small business owners are willing to do that, they also want to figure out how to hire local residents, because they're like, I have people who are coming from different places, so I'm going to figure out how to hire local residents. So I think Jars was saying that, I think he may have reached out to the high school to see if, you know, he can hire high school students to come in, you know, as their first job and things like that. So it's just like, once I get the survey, I can have that. But I still like, even without the survey, in the conversation that we have, if there's someone that I can connect them with based on that conversation, absolutely happens.
Does the city of Unreal have a summer job program?
School system used to.
Yeah.
And we used to have a mentorship program. That disappeared a long time ago. But ECC wants to start one up again one day when we get there in our wish list.
I'd be interested in the city providing some kind of internship program to these small businesses, because that might be a win, a mutual win.
Yeah, that did work, but when we did it.
Yeah.
So many restaurants in Emeryville, when living wage went in, developed ways of efficiency in their operation, made transition. Other restaurants could not do it. And so that was a big part that happened many years ago. Maybe you could have an outline of efficiency for restaurants in particular that reflected that change. That so, you know, they're just starting up. They can realize, oh, that's how to do that. There's, you know, the labor saving side that has already been innovated actually in our city.
SBDC has great workshops. I mean, sometimes I'll just leverage other cities are having workshops. Yeah. I'll be like, hey, by the way, Newark SBDC is having here. Maybe you should go to this one.
And I'm sending them out to the people that I've had actual communication with right now. Like, hey, this might be helpful. They have a lot of them are either free or a low cost, like $60 or something like that. So. Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, you making those connections with businesses, I think, is way more valuable than you might think, because it's they just them having a friend in the city, they probably brag about that to some of their friends. So just know that these, while you may not be getting exactly what you want out of it, they probably really, really do value.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I mean, not happy with it, but I was excited when I was like, so I went for months.
Any more public comment? Okay. We'll go on to the next item, Broughton City Cultural District Program Update.
Real briefly, I mentioned at the last meeting that we're continuing the program with some public art funds through the course of 2026. Next big deal is on March 21st, so coming up really soon, is the second edition of the film festival at the AMC. So check out the blocks, super cool. I hope to go to some with my son, because he enjoyed it last year, so I just wanted to make that announcement.
And the
filmfreeway.com is where you can.
ECC has been advertising it in the newsletter.
There's been a lot of more promotion of it this year than there was last year, and I think it's I think that's really helpful. Seeing the posters and the flyers and the ads on social media. It's good.
Any more public comment on this? Okay, we'll go on to the update on the Emeryville Commerce Connection. So what do you think? That's right. So we're working really hard to reach out to people and get the membership happening, and we're